Marshall Griffin, one of the biggest Missouri issues right now is taxes. Proposals to lower the income tax, raise the sales tax. Where's that headed right now?
To venture an educated guess, I would say it is going to be headed to conference eventually. The Missouri Senate proposal would increase the sales tax slightly. Now, they say that it would be offset by the cuts in income tax, but still, the House is very leery, very shaky of any type of tax hike proposal, even if it's going to be offset. So there's going to need to be some negotiations between the House and the Senate before this gets passed, before it even gets to Governor Nixon, who is likely to veto it.
But does that mean anything? I mean, when he's got veto-proof margins in both chambers.
The veto-proof majority depends on what bill is up there. There are some Republicans, depending on the issue, who will defect. And at this point, there might be a few Republicans that are a little iffy on this issue in the House. So it will remain to be seen whatever the House version of the bill is, and whether or not they want their own version or whether or not they want the Senate version. At this point, it's too soon to tell.
Talking about taxes and tax increases, what about the transportation sales tax increase that was approved by the Senate?
That one's a little iffy as well. On its surface, it sounds like something that's agreeable, raising sales tax by one penny that would not go on food or groceries or gasoline or prescription medicines to fund transportation needs, a tenth of it going to local cities and counties. Sounds like a great plan, but not everyone's on board with it. There's some concerns in the Senate regarding, well, shouldn't the legislature have some say in how these funds are spent? And the sponsor of the bill is thinking, no, lawmakers are the worst people to put in charge of where transportation dollars go on specific projects. The other issue over in the House is it is a sales tax increase, even though it's a resolution that would give voters the right to say yes or no on this. There's still that leeriness in the House, even if it's one that voters say, yeah, we don't mind you raising our taxes on this.
The Democrats are screaming loudly, of course, about the possibility of a sales tax increase. But with the Republican majorities in both houses, how much clout do the Democrats really have now?
That depends, once again, on which chamber. They've got a little bit more clout in the Senate. Senate Democrats can stand up and filibuster a bill and kill it. And then you do have a Democrat in the governor's office as well. But when it comes to driving legislation, the Republicans still have, for the most part, have the upper hand. And the veto-proof majorities, while not always consistent on every bill, is still fairly formidable.
Now, one surprise to me, at least, was that, first of all, the Missouri Chamber of Commerce came out in favor of expanding Medicaid. The chamber is often one of the most conservative organizations in the state. And the second surprise, that even despite a second effort on the chamber's part, the usually chamber-sympathetic GOP legislators have not budged on the issue. What's your take on that?
Well, the Missouri Chamber's members, their members are not unanimous in supporting Medicaid expansion. It's more of a situation of let's hold our nose and support this. They're looking at the Mizzou study that says, you know, 24,000 new jobs, the federal money it's 100% now, but it'll be 90% in a few years. But I think they're looking at those numbers and saying, you know, even if Missouri's on the hook for 10% of it, it will help in some ways. And I think maybe the hospital association is bending their ear a little bit more successfully in this. Still, when it comes to lawmakers in the House and the Senate, the Republican majority is still holding fast. I mean, the House Budget Committee, they're saying, you know, it doesn't matter that it's 100% coverage now and 90% in a few years, that 10% we're going to have to pay for is just going to be way too expensive and we can't afford it. And that's the message that the Republicans in both the House and the Senate are sticking to.
Another surprise issue, all this controversy over the Department of Revenue scanning documents and supposedly sending them to Homeland Security, where's all that going?
Well, it's not going away anytime soon, I can tell you that. It looked like the issue was going to die down after the House hearings, where the director of the Department of Revenue came before a House committee and he said, we are not sending any documents to Washington, D.C., all we're doing is scanning these documents, keeping copies of them in a secure place. We're doing this to combat fraud, and that there would even be procedures after a few years for disposing of them. Kurt Schaefer got up during debate on a different bill and started talking about how one of his constituents came to him and was told that when he asked, why do you want copies of all these documents just so that I can renew my concealed carry endorsement, this person that worked at DOR told Senator Schaefer's constituent that this is a new requirement from the Department of Homeland Security. And that set off the bells. Senator Schaefer then said on the Senate floor that he was lied to by the head of the Department of Revenue. Senator Dempsey repeated that mantra, said, I do not like being lied to. They believe that the Department of Revenue is, if not sending this information to Washington, at least holding on to it with plans to do so. They're basically accusing the Obama administration of collecting information on citizens and making it sound like, you know, there's a 1984 situation going on, if you're familiar with the premise of that book. This controversy is not going away anytime soon. In fact, Senator Dempsey did say that he would send a letter to Attorney General Chris Coster and ask him to investigate what's going on.
Something that was on the agenda when the session started, business incentives, the perks for bringing in sports tournaments are going to the governor. What does the big picture look like for tax credits?
There is a healthier environment for tax credits this year in Missouri. Not saying that things are great and rosy, of course. There's still going to be battles over low-income housing incentives and over historic preservation incentives, and should there be caps, what size should they be, should there be sunsets. But the House and Senate leadership allowed these two groups of incentives for benevolent tax credits and for amateur sporting events, allowed them to be separated on their own and actually get passed by both chambers before spring break. It's rather amazing considering how deeply pitted the battle lines were drawn over tax credits just a few years ago. The incentives to renew food pantries, to extend survivor benefits for widows of slain law enforcement officers, and also incentives for crisis pregnancy centers would be coming back, and incentives to encourage amateur sporting events like the NCAA basketball tournament, perhaps the SEC tournament. Incentives for senior citizens, their survival this session is still up in the air. It's too soon to tell what's going to happen with those.
Marshall, a couple more issues before we wrap up. One, the bill that would allow medical workers to opt out of procedures and referrals that are against their religion or their conscience.
That's one bill that has a good chance of surviving a veto by Governor Nixon. There was a lot of controversy, a lot of heated debate over that bill. In fact, Representative Stacey Newman from St. Louis County said, is this going to be the Todd Akin bill of the 2013 legislative session? That almost got her gaveled down. There is a chance that the Democrats could get up and filibuster this bill, but if the Republicans really want it in the Senate, they'll find a way to get it and pressure them on some other piece of legislation, not give them something else that they want. You know, that's kind of the way things work in Jefferson City, and I assume other state capitals and in Washington as well.
You talked about filibuster. Do you think the Democrats will filibuster on the bill that restricts the automatic paycheck deductions for the union members?
Not only would they already have. I spent a very late night here Monday over the Senate version of the Paycheck Protection Bill. A compromise version was reached, and they decided to sit down. And basically, the reason they sat down and ended their filibuster was because, number one, they thought, well, you know, this is still a bad bill, although it's not as bad. Number two, it's probably not going to survive the session anyway. Even if it does get out of both chambers, the governor will veto it. And this issue is not veto-proof. There are a number of pro-labor union Republicans in the House as well that most likely would not join in a veto override of paycheck protection.
And maybe we ought to explain, or one of us ought to explain what the paycheck protection bill is.
It basically tells labor unions that they cannot automatically deduct union dues from the paychecks of public employee labor union members. This is only about public employees that belong to labor unions. And the compromise version would require written permission once a year. And also, it would have a say as far as whether union dues could be used for political purposes. That has been a very hot topic this year as well. A lot of union interests have been walking the halls of Jefferson City for the past several weeks, trying to make sure that this bill goes nowhere.
Marshall, we know this is a really busy week, and we really appreciate your taking the time to give us a mid-session fill-in on all this.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being with us.